All right, brethren, let's go to Psalm 83. He says, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They've holpen the children of Lot. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kazan, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, and yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmunna, who said, Let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. And let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth." God's people need God to speak to us. This is how this psalm begins, asking God, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God." We need God to speak to us. We need God to protect us. Believers need to hear a word from God. We need to hear God speak in our heart, the Spirit of God making known the presence of God in our heart. David said in Psalm 28:1, he said, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." God may be silent in the sense that he makes his child perceive that God is not speaking. But Scripture tells us that God, our Savior, upholds all things by the word of his power. And God may appear from our perception not to be moving, but we know at all times God is actively working all things together for the good of them that love God, for the good of his called people according to his purpose. And he waits until his time to move. He waits until his time to speak. And our times are in his hand. But he waits to do for us what he did for the psalmist here, to bring us to cry unto him, asking him to speak to us, asking him to move on our behalf. That's the purpose in God, is to keep his people constantly crying to him, constantly dependent on him. And we see here why we need God to speak, why we depend on God. We see it here in this description of our enemies. Now listen to these enemies, the description here in verse 2. He says, "Lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head." Now we see in this description here of enemy, we see the characteristics of God's enemies. And let me say this about God's enemies. There's spiritual enemies. There's unseen enemies. There's the unregenerate of this world that don't know God. There's our own sinful flesh. All of that's represented in these enemies. We just have many, many enemies in this world as believers that would turn us from God. Look at this description of them right here. He says those who are enemies to God's people, this is the good news. Those that are enemies to God's people are God's enemies. He says here, lo, thine enemies. They're God's enemies. If they're against God's people, they're God's enemies. They're God's enemies. That's a great comfort to us, brethren. A great comfort. God shall protect his people from all our enemies because they're God's enemies. And the enemy is boisterous. He says here, they make a tumult. Always trying to disrupt the peace of God's people. Always trying to disrupt this peace. Always trying to be daring and defiant to cause great trouble amongst God's people. And then God's enemies operate from a natural heart of enmity against God. The natural heart, the carnal mind's enmity against God. And that's where the enemy's operating from. And because there's enmity against God, there's pride. There's a proud heart. An arrogant spirit. Look here. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. Every sinner in his natural state is enmity against God, hates God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And that carnal heart, that natural sinful heart, is nothing but pride. That's what this thing of lifting up the head, stiffening up the neck, defiant. It's the carnal heart, the proud heart. Now, that's the sin nature that Christ has to free his people from. That's the sin nature we come into this world with. And hating God, hating God. It may appear pleasant and may appear moral, but underneath is hatred of God. And pride is what it is. It's That was the sin of the devil, was pride. I will ascend to the throne of the Most High. I will set my throne on high. And we have to be saved from that continually. But that same carnal sin nature is in every child that God saves. And that nature God saves his child from when he creates a new man within us and gives you a meek and a quiet spirit. That old man's still with you. He's still wanting to rise up. And we have to be saved from him constantly. We need God to protect us because the enemy's crafty. Look here in verse 3. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They've said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. You remember the serpent came into the garden, and the scripture says he was more subtle than any of the creatures that God had made. And the devil is crafty. The devil is subtle. And so are all the enemies of God. He says here, they've taken crafty counsel against thy people. We see it in the way enemies of God dealt with our Savior. Look over at Luke chapter 20. This is how they dealt with our Savior. Luke 20 and verse 20. It says, they watched him. They watched him. They were always looking for something to accuse him with. They watched him. And they sent forth spies. They sent forth people to listen when he didn't know, or when they didn't think that he knew they were listening, and to spy on him. And these ones that came to him, they feigned themselves as just men, that they might take hold of his words, so that they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any, but you teach the way of God truly. That was just deceit. That was craftiness. They said, is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, why tempt ye me? And this is our Savior here who knows the hearts in every enemy. He knows the hearts in every man, but he knows the hearts in all our enemies, and he is able to save us. There's none that are so crafty that they can outwit our Redeemer. They couldn't do it when he walked this earth. They can't do it now. And so we call on him, Lord, speak. We need you to protect us because our enemies are crafty. And the enemy, they want to put us out of remembrance. They want to destroy the church of God and put the name of God's people out of remembrance. And they sow against God. Now they're divided against themselves. All sinners in this world are divided against themselves. But this one thing they have in common, they hate God and they hate his people. Look here in verse 5. They've consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, O God. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, that's Hagar's children after she left Abraham. She had more children, and they're enemies of God. He says these others, Jebul and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines, that with the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher is joined with them. They've helped the children of Lot. You think about this, though. All these came from one man. They all came from Adam. Everybody on this earth came from one man, Adam. But because Adam sinned, we all sinned, and the natural heart that we're saved from is hateful and hating one another. Hateful and hating one another. And some of these here were brothers, physical brothers, that hated their brethren and their brethren's descendants. Edom is Esau's descendants. That's Jacob's brother. And Ishmaelites were Ishmael's descendants. That's Isaac's brother. And Esau hated God. Therefore, he hated Jacob. And Esau's children hates Jacob's children. Because they hate our God. They hate our God. And as it was then, so it is now. Those that are born after the flesh persecute those who are born after the Spirit. It was that way. It's always been that way. Cain killed Abel because of this. And it's still so in our day. But now every sinner in this world descended from the same father, from Adam, because of sin now. Men hate one another by nature. Now they may not appear to hate one another. You let it come down to anything that's a personal benefit, and men will split. But especially now when you start declaring the gospel and they start hearing about God, men that are so divided they hate one another, one thing they will counsel together on and be in unity about is their hatred of God and the hatred of God's people. Those that crucified our Redeemer, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't get along with each other. The Romans, they didn't get along with each other, but they had this in agreement. They hated Christ enough that they were willing to crucify him. And that's so of all men in this world. Every spiritually dead sinner is united together, counseling together as the enemies of God against God's people. And brethren, it's going to have to take God putting away the sin of his people. It takes God coming and giving a new heart and making us see that there's no difference in me and you and any other sinner, making us to be the chief of sinners in our estimation of ourselves, so that we'll quit trying to use ourselves to be against another. That's what all division's about. It's one worm exalting themselves as being better than another worm. That's all it is. It's enmity against God and enmity against his people. We have to be, God has to come in spirit and so humble us in the dust that we can't esteem ourselves better than another. And when he does that, brethren, there'll be unity. When you made to see, he's given you one faith, one spirit, one Lord, one Savior who saved. That's when brethren are brought together and made one. Our assurance is this. We're no match for the enemy. We're no match. You want God to leave you alone to take on your enemies in this world? We're no match for the devil. We're no match for any enemy we have. We're no match for the one we look at in the mirror every day. We need God to save us. And that's why they're calling out here, Lord, speak to us. Help us. You just think about the stuff going on over in the East right now. And, you know, you got two or three different or however many factions over there right now, and they have one common enemy right now as long as America's in present. But you let America pull out and just watch what's going to happen. You can go read about what happened when Russia left over there back in the late 80s. It lasted 6 months, and they went to killing each other. It's going to happen again. But they have one common enemy right now. And the men of this world have a common enemy against God and against his people. We need God to save us. We need God to keep us. But notice who God's people are. This is our hope right here. Look here, verse 3. It says, they have taken crafty counsel, God, against thy people. They've consulted against thy hidden ones. That's who the Lord's people are. God has a people in this world who are his people. They're his people. They're called the holy nation. They're called his peculiar treasure. They're people he chose in Christ before this world was ever made. That's his people. It's no physical nation. It's no physical traits that makes one chosen and one not chosen. It's who God chose. That's his people. By free grace, choosing whom he would. And God has hidden his people. If you are saved by God's grace and believe Christ, you're one of the hidden ones. You're one of the hidden ones. Now, how are we hidden? God hid us in Christ. When he chose his people in Christ and blessed us with all spiritual blessings, he hid us in Christ. And when Adam sinned in the garden, there's one reason God didn't pour out his wrath on Adam right then. Because he had a people hidden in Christ. And he's going to save them. And there's one reason he didn't pour out his wrath on you when you came into this world a sinner. If you're his, the reason is he hid you in Christ. And right now, amongst all enemies and everybody in this world, he's protecting his people because you're hidden in Christ. Christ is hidden from this world. Who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Father, I thank you, Lord, that you hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Christ is hidden from this world unless God's pleased to reveal himself in the hearts of his people. And his people are hidden in Christ. Listen to Isaiah 32, verse 2. Isaiah 32, 2 says, a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You know who that man is? That's the God man. That's Christ Jesus. He is a hiding place from the wind. He's a covert from the tempest. He's as rivers of water in a dry place. We saw that this morning. He says, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, in a hot land where the sun's beating down. He's a shadow. All these things Christ is. What's this tempest he's the hiding place from? Christ went to that cross and the tempest was poured out on him. And his people were in Christ just like Noah was in that ark. And was hidden from that flood that came down and came up from the deep. And we were hidden in Christ when God satisfied his justice on our Redeemer. And now, having put away our sin and put away the condemnation and having arisen to God's right hand, when God saves his child, you know what he's continually teaching us? You are hidden. He says in Colossians 3:3, ye are dead. You died in Christ. Your body of sin died when Christ died. You're dead. Before God, you're dead. It's settled. It is settled. God's child died in Christ. It's settled. Judgment settled for his child. But your life is hid with Christ in God. You're risen with Christ. You're hidden in Christ. This was so before we knew him, brethren. This was so when he arose, when he died, we died in him over 2,000 years ago. And when he arose, we arose in him and sat down. The reason God spared you and preserved you and brought you to hear the gospel and taught us the gospel is because he had you hidden in Christ. Your life was hidden in Christ. Same right now. The reason he's keeping us and protecting us and providing for us right now is we're hidden in Christ. That's the assurance of preservation. Listen, Psalm 91:1. If you want to look at these are going to be in Psalm. I just want to go through these with you. Psalm 91:1. In the midst of all the tumult and all the conspiring of every enemy in our lives, God keeps us knowing and He keeps us believing God has hidden us in Christ. Just like a man, you don't hide things that aren't any value. Do you? Anybody, you got anything that's just cheap as a cheap as just cheap things that you don't hide them. What do you hide? Valuable things. Well, He's hidden us because you're His precious jewels. And He's hidden you just like you would hide a precious diamond. And He's making us know this. He's reminding us this. And that secret hiding place is Christ. Look at Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's that secret place. Christ is that secret place of the Most High. I'll say of the Lord, He is my refuge. That's what it means. He's my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Look at Psalm 27:5. He says, let's read verse 4. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. That tabernacle, first and foremost, is Christ. And He's that pavilion. But it's His church. It's where He's put His, assembled His people. He's going to hide His people in His church. This is a hidden place right here to this world. Wherever He's assembled His people and His gospel is going forth, the world doesn't notice it. The world doesn't have any understanding of how important it is and how valuable it is. He's hidden you. Look here in Psalm 31 and verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Men can strive with their tongues, and they can accuse, and they can try to separate you from the Lord. And the Lord will let you go through some of that. But He's going to hide you in the secret of His presence. Nobody's going to separate you from Him. Nobody's going to separate His people from Christ. He's not going to let it happen. He's not going to let it happen. God keeps us crying to Him, praising Him, sanctifying Him above all our enemies by asking Him to hide us in Christ. Look at here in Psalm 32, look at verse 7. This is what he cries out. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. This is our cry. He said over in Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of your eye, the pupil. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 64:2, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. You think about Christ. You think about how men secretly counseled and what they were going to do to Christ. And throughout his life, the Lord just walked, he just walked right through the middle of them. Nobody could lay a hand on him. Nobody could touch him until the time appointed. Till the time appointed. And right now what he's doing for his people, he's hiding his people from the secret counsel of those enemies that would try to separate us from the Lord. He's going to keep doing this. Wherever he has a people, he's going to keep hiding his people so that we can worship him and nothing will be able to separate us from him. So we cry out, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. You're my shield. You know what the shield of faith is? It's not faith. Faith's not the shield. The shield, what did the Lord tell Abraham? I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The shield of faith is faith's object. Now, if your faith's in faith, if your faith's in your faith, you don't have a shield. But if your faith is in Christ, Christ is your shield. He's the one who's going to protect you from the fiery darts of the wicked. He's the one who's going to keep your head safe from the devil's trying to turn you and make you think you're not a child of God. He's going to keep you looking to him. He's the power to do that. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. That's what our psalmist is doing. That's what, if you just start having a thought that is either a doubtful thought, a sinful thought, something that's sanctifying your enemies, something that's, if it keeps going, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. The only power against that, brethren, there's only one power against that. Flee to Christ to hide you. I mean, with passionately fleeing to him. I mean, go to his word, go to the gospel, hear him declared, hear him preached. He's the power. He's the power. Now look at this thirdly, and I'm going to be brief here, but faith depends upon God to save us from every enemy. In each of these battles that we're looking at here, God saved all his chosen from the enemy. We depend on him to save it. And he lists a bunch of battles here. He says, Lord, do for us like you did then. And in each one of these, God alone did the saving. Look here. I'll just read them. Verse 9. Do unto them as unto the Midianites. Do you remember how the Midianites were slain? Who did that? God made it abundantly clear who did it. He told Gideon, get in there. You got too many. You're going to send some of these men home. And God chose which ones would send home. Gideon had no idea. They all let some drink water like a dog and some lapped it up with their hand. And it doesn't say why God chose which one of them. But the ones that, I think it was the ones that got down and drank like a dog, he let them stay and the other ones he sent home. I might have that backwards. But the point is, you couldn't tell which ones he was going to choose and which ones he sent home. It was God's choice and God sent them home. Why'd he send them home? Because Gideon was leaning on them too much. That's why. And he narrowed it down till there was just a handful of them. And he said, now Gideon, you go against this big army of the Midianites. And you take a pitcher and you put a candle in that pitcher. And you go in there with a trumpet. And what you do is, you take a third of them around this side, a third around this side, and a third around this side. And Gideon told him what the Lord told him. He said, now, when I blow the trumpet, he said, you break the pitcher. And everybody started blowing his trumpet and shouting the word of the Lord. And they broke those pitchers and that candle shined and they went to blowing the trumpets. And the Midianites took off. They just left. That's all a picture of this gospel. We got to be broken vessels, entirely broken. We hadn't accomplished a thing. We can't accomplish a thing. And as long as we have that spirit, God won't use us. We got to be broken. The vessel's got to be empty. The vessel's got to be powerless. So the excellency of the power belongs to the Lord. That's that broken vessel. And that's the one the light shines through. And the trumpet being blown is the gospel. Who gave the victory? God did. He whittled it down till there was just so few people to show it's the Lord that did it and not man. And that's the case with all the rest of these. I won't go into detail, but Sisera, and you, as you did to Jabin at the brook of Kazan, they perished at Endor. He goes through all this list that he did, and he says, Lord, he said, you did this. We need you to do this. These enemies are wanting to take us. He said, make them like a wheel. Make them just roll over and over and over and just have no rest. He says, make them as stubble before the wind. You know how the chaff is separated from the wheat? There's a lot of disturbance. a lot of trouble. They got these down in Kentucky and places, and they have them in valleys and things, and they have a barn and the floor of it you can get on it and bounce on it like a trampoline. And they put the weed in there. And I believe, was it Adam, was it you I was talking this about? Some of them have set them up to where there's a door at one end, a door at the other, and they actually use the wind coming down through the holler to blow through the barn. But where they don't have that, they use a big fan. And they just bounce that wheat up and down and up and down on that floor. And as it does, the chaff is light, and the chaff bounces up. As it's bouncing, it separates, and the chaff bounces up, and the wind blows the chaff, just blows it away. What do you think these troubles are about? God separating the wheat from the chaff. And they light is light enough, the wind can just blow them away. God's people can't be turned that easy, because God's got them rooted. He got them. They're heavier by His grace. The chaff can just, they can, you shake it up too much, and the chaff is just, it blow it away with the wind. Make them like the stubble before the wind. As the fire burneth the wood, as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, persecute them with thy tempest, make them afraid with thy storm. God has done this for us in Christ. He's done this for His people. Christ went and He bore the tempest. He saved us from the law's curse. He saved us from our sin. He saved us from our God-hating nature by His Spirit. He saved us from the devil. He saved us from every enemy we face in this world. And He keeps doing it. We're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. That's the only way. But by God's grace, Christ can pray this against the enemies, and He can pray this perfectly. We just pray, Lord, magnify Your name. Save us from our enemies. But here's what we also pray. Lord taught us to pray for our enemies. And we pray for our enemies. Look here in verse 16. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. That's a prayer for them. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek you, Lord. Sinners only seek Christ to save when God fills our faces with shame. That's ongoing. We have to see the shame of our sin being against God, our sin being against Christ, who's such a loving Savior to His people. We have to see our sins against God's people. We have to see our sins of rejecting such a holy, just, and good Redeemer. See our shame before our enemies. Are you ashamed of yourself? I am. I'm ashamed of what I am. Can you say, have you ever said that to a brother? I'm just ashamed of who I am and what I am. Pride can't own that. Pride can't even say, I might be wrong. I might have it wrong. If there's any whose face God's filled with shame, seek the name of the Lord. Go to Him. He's the only one that can save you. And He'll hide you in the pavilion, and He'll protect you from the strife of tongues. It's one thing for God to shame you. He will. He'll bring you to Him. But He's not going to let His people be ashamed. For trusting Him to save us. He's going to save you. He pardons His people. There's no God like Him. He passes by the remnant of His inheritance, the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. He passes by. He delights to show mercy. He delights to have compassion. He's not going to hold it over your head. He's not going to keep on whipping you. He's going to bring you to Him and have mercy. Just like that. When you ask mercy, you're getting it from God. That's who He is. That's how He saves. But verse 17, 18, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, those that won't bow to Him, that men may know that Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, are the Most High over all the earth. That's who Christ Jesus is. He's Jehovah Jesus. He's God over all the earth. He's the omnipotent Savior who saves His people. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name. And one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He's Lord of lords and King of kings. It's going to be to the praise of the glory of God. And He says right now, bow down now and kiss the Son. Bow down and kiss Him lest He be angry. Have you? Have you? That's the only way we'll be saved. It's to bow down and kiss the Son. Blessed are all those that do. They're happy. You got eternal salvation, eternal rest, eternal peace. And you're His hidden ones. And here's the thing about it. He's going to win every battle. He will win every battle. That means His people will win every battle. Trust in Him. You're going to win every battle. And He's going to keep you. And He's going to keep you hidden. So pray for your enemies. Pray for God to save your enemies. And pray for God to exalt His name. That's what He's going to do. Father, we thank You for this word. Thank You for Your mercy. Lord, thank You for saving us in spite of us. Thank You for continuing to be merciful to us. We don't deserve the least of Your mercies. Our sins are ever before us, our transgressions, and You just continue to quicken our heart. You continue to make us see what sinners we are and yet what perfection we have in Christ. Lord, we pray for our enemies. Lord, those that know You, those that don't know You, whatever our need be, give shame of face, Lord, that we might seek You and find mercy in Christ. Lord, help us to not cause a tumult. Help us to seek peace and pursue it. And Lord, we trust You to win that battle for us. Exalt Your name. Lord, help us to honor You and worship You and look only to You. We cry unto You, Lord. Speak by Your voice in our hearts, in the hearts of Your people. Move for us. Move upon us. Hide us and protect us. Lord, do all according to Your will for the glory of Your name. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.